This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday. Sports Saturday brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, thanks to homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. And by Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, as we are now halfway through the month of September. And we'll have a 90-minute edition for you today, as we will take you right up to Fighting Illini football at 10:30, as today Illinois will host Charleston Southern. That coming up at 10:30 here on FM 106. But guys, it was a big week, or a big night, I should say, of high school football in week number 4, and the South Central Conference is wide open.
Well, the good news is we didn't have games postponed. We almost did.
Well, we sort of did.
We had one pushed back, but the road teams were all victorious last night in the South Central and in the Prairie State Conference, by the way, and it certainly has created a logjam at the top of the South Central Conference with five teams all now sporting 3-1 records. So,
yeah, it's and we kind of predicted this before the start of the season, guys. There was going to be a lot of parity in the South Western Conference, and there is, and. Some surprises at the top and maybe a surprise or two who's at the bottom.
Well, and you never know how the high school football season will transpire. Carlinville got that big week a week ago.
Today.
Yeah. At Greenville, 59-14. So Carlinville, after 3 weeks, was the only undefeated team left in the South Central. Then last night, the Paint of Panthers roll in to Carlinville and hand the Cavies their first loss of the year, 29-21. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And Chad, thanks for some of your time this morning. And I guess from the outside, the easy thing would be to say that there was a bit of an emotional hangover from your big win at Greenville. Was it that simple?
I don't know. I think a hangover would probably be a good word to use. We did not play very well, but you have to take your hat off to Paint. They're 2-1. No one expected them to come in and do what they did, except for us. And, they're a very, very good football team, and they're going to win a lot of games this year.
And Payne is one of those teams year in, year out. Doesn't matter who they lost the year before or who they have coming back. They're just a hard-nosed, tough football team.
Yeah, we say this on this radio show all the time. That's why I love the South Central. You never know what you're going to get from week in and week out, and the competitive level is usually very, very high. And, they were ready. We didn't capitalize on some opportunities that we had, and it's one of those nights where when it went bad, it sure went bad. Last week when it went good, it sure went good for us. So that's what happens when you coach 16, 17, 8-year-olds, 18-year-olds, and we looked at some film and we got some things to work on. And as I told them after the game, it was very disappointing. But you have a 9 to 10 week schedule. And you have to keep your eye on that, and you can be mad today, and we have to fix it tomorrow. So,
and Chad, you mentioned it was 16, 17-year-old kids, but the college and the pros dealing with 20 and 30-somethings, they still have the same problem. It's not just high school.
No, it's not. And, as I walked out of the stadium last night, somebody goes, wow, coach. And, I just for all the coaches around the area and all the players, I just admire them to have put the helmet on and to go out there and to put yourself under that scrutiny and that way to play. I like that. I think those kids have a lot of character, and we showed that last night, and we'll rebound. We always do, and I've been on my phone with my dad already this morning. What are you doing next week? And I said, well, we're going to get the things fixed, and we're just going to keep trucking along. So, and as I said, Payne have played an outstanding ball game. I thought they were very well prepared. And they stuck to their game plan, and I was impressed.
Chad, being around sports all my life and watching sports and playing sports, I'm never amazed, as you were speaking about people and fans, I'm never amazed at all of the great athletes that are in bleachers.
Yeah, well, I just meant, that's always a – I did not mean it that way.
No,
I
no, but I mean it the way I said it because.
I know you did. I know you did. I was blaming you for that one, not me.
Yeah, and I'll take 100% of the blame because I've sat in a lot of bleachers and listened to people, and I tell you what, there's some outstanding athletes up there that never played the game.
And good officials.
Oh yeah, good officials. They're just experts of the game.
Yeah, I just told my kids I'm very proud of them because they're, as you look around the world and around the when you put a helmet on and you put yourself on display out there for something like that, that takes a lot of character, both on the winning and the losing. So you know, we enjoyed the win last week is what I told them, and now we have to suffer the loss, and how you rebound and how you handle those situations definitely defines you and defines your team. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we didn't have a chance to talk to you, obviously, after your win at Greenville last weekend. To me, you guys played pretty much a perfect football game. So even though you lost last night, I would think that you can still draw on all the positive things you did on the road at a tough opponent like Greenville.
Yeah, you know, it's really ironic. We got to see the both ends of it. Last week, I've only been part of a game like that once or twice in my life, where everything you touch turns to gold, and it did for us. Not that it was luck, but we couldn't do a bad thing last week, which was a really cool feeling. And this week we got the total polar opposite. Everything we did seemed to come with a cost, either a penalty, a missed assignment, a bad tackle. So, you know, those are definitely things that we have to work on this week and stay focused. We have a very, very tough opponent. We talked about our weeks 2, 3, 4, and 5. How grueling they could be for us, and we wanted to come out of this that run with one loss, and we definitely have to hold our feet to the fire to make sure that happens.
Yeah, the universe always has a way of evening itself out, to say the least. But last week, I've never seen a game like Brendan Stewart had. Have you ever had a kid that had 2 pick-sixes and 3 touchdowns on offense?
No, he's the best running back that I've coached ever in my career. And to think that I have almost 2 of them on my football team is, I told the Springfield paper that, you know, that's a coach's dream. You know, Corey Fernetti is an outstanding running back as well, and is on and would be the main running back on a lot of teams in our conference. So it's really, really a special situation for myself to have 2 of them on one football team.
And you've got a young sophomore by the name of Kenny Miles who looks like he's just going to be next in the long line of great tailbacks.
Yeah, you know, he's coming into his own, and he's just a sophomore. And, you know, we've talked about this several times. You look good, you run good, but you're still a sophomore. And the varsity world moves so fast, and he is doing a great job of slowly working himself in there. And we got a lot of great sophomores and juniors that are doing that. So, you know, we're looking forward to it, and we'll keep plugging them along. And we have to recover from a loss. And, you know, it was definitely a bitter one, you know.
Get ready definitely. For a tough Staunton team next week.
Yeah, you know, we were just breaking out some film this morning, so you know, they seem to be handling the transition into the South Central very, very well. You know, they had a left, they almost had a catch or a game like we did last night with Vandalia. I think we had beaten Vandalia, and they were coming off of that, so maybe they, you know, they're definitely a great ball club, a lot of speed on that team.
And Chad, it's always good to play at home, obviously, but maybe it'll be good for your kids to get on the road next week.
I tell you what, I've just been playing on the road. We seem to play better. I don't know. It'll be a great atmosphere down there. I know that they have a great facility, and, you know, we're looking forward to it.
And, Chad, even though you dropped the game last night, 3-1 along with 4 other teams atop the South Central, and this is pretty much, I think, how folks thought the conference was going to play out throughout the year.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, I never anticipated us to be where we were, so I'm very pleased with that. Not pleased with our effort last night, but very pleased with our overall thing. And as you said earlier, we got a lot of things to build on just because we lost the football game. You know, the sun still came up this morning, and no one died. So we need to reflect on those types of things and keep plugging along because it's a long season.
As I like to say, the safety of the free world is not at stake.
You know, there are 10,000 people in a lot of other countries that didn't even know we played football last night. So I keep things in perspective. Definitely can hurt. There's nothing wrong with that. And recover and then see what happens.
Yep. Chad, you still control your own destiny here in 2012. And we'll see you next week at Staunton. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Chad Easton, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And we talked about it last week, or we talked about the game last week Carlinville had against Greenville. Maybe that loss for Greenville was a good thing, just kind of woke them up a little bit, and that certainly seemed to be the case last night at Hillsborough. And coming off the big win, like Carlinville was, they're high school kids. You go through the whole week of school, all your fellow students patting you on the back, giving you high fives, telling you what a great job you did. So maybe this loss for Carlinville in the grand scheme of things is a positive.
And maybe you're young enough, Tim, you can remember being a high school teenager. I can't. How about you, Ralph?
I can't remember being a teenager.
It's starting to get fuzzy, but I do have small recollections.
Yeah. And you realize, have to realize, as Chad said, 16-year-old kids, you know, and they're out there busting their butts to play a game, and somebody has to lose, and somebody has to win, and it's as simple as that. Not real simple, but that's how it is. Somebody loses, somebody wins.
It's 1 week, one game, and you've got you're through week four. You've got five more weeks to go, and whether you like it or not, five teams with 3-1 really shapes up to make the conference race a terrific race for the fans.
A lot of fun.
Oh, a lot of fun.
And next week we start eliminating that because Carlinville will go into Staunton, both of them 3-1. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to walk away 4-1. Somebody's going to walk away 3-2.
And we'll have that game next Friday night live at 6:45 right here on WSMI FM 106. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President and Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. With four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
And at 9:17, let's take a look at the weather forecast being brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies for today. We'll have highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies continuing on through tonight. We'll have a low of around 58 degrees. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy skies yet again for Sunday. Expect a high Sunday in the upper 70s. At 9:18, we have a temperature reading of 65 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:19, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much. It's 4 weeks of high school football in the books, and the Nokomis Redskins are undefeated. They are 4-0 after a win last night against the Mount Olive Wildcats on the road. And joining us right now is the head coach of the Redskins, Gabe Cesaretti. And Gabe, what a start for your kids.
Yeah, it's a great start to the year, and everybody's excited. Coaches, players, we're all excited this morning.
So it's been one of those years you haven't had a lot of home action thus far, doesn't seem. You spend a lot of time on the road, and those types of situations can really pull a team together.
It does. I mean, we've talked about that all year. Spent a lot of time on the bus together. Last night almost kind of felt like a home game. It was only a 45-minute bus trip. So, the kids are pulling together and, you know, playing with a lot of adversity on the road in different places, and they're doing a great job.
And, you know, Gabe, a lot of things have changed over time, but one thing that hasn't changed is school bus rides still aren't fun.
No, especially the older you get.
Well, you know, if they take them square wheels off them school buses, make them ride a little smoother.
Yeah, you're right there.
Well, you had a lot of people did a lot of great things in your ball game last night, Gabe, and you were able to use a lot of different people to carry the football last night in your win against Mount Olive.
Yeah, we talked about that this morning. Had a lot of different guys make tackles. We rushed for 512 yards. That's really an attribute to the offensive line. We've got the big guys up front like Lucas Kimbrough and Hayden Edwards and Dolan O'Malley, Justin Brummett and Douglas Kaiser. I mean, those guys did their job last night and opened the holes up. And you got Austin Chauncey, Ray Loveless, Bryce Pavoka all went for 100, 200 apiece. And that's just they grounded out last night and did a heck of a job. I was proud of that.
Sorry, Gabe, I think I misunderstood you. I thought you said you rushed for 512 yards last night.
Yeah. I think after the game, I made a comment like, guys, I bet we went for 300 yards on the ground, and somebody over my shoulder said, Coach, that's more like 500. I was pretty shocked.
Yeah. That's got to be a school record, doesn't it?
It was almost. We looked at that last night when we got home. It wasn't a school record.
Wow.
We beat that in 1999. We looked it up.
Unbelievable.
But Gabe, these are the kids that you've been counting on here the last year or two to step up to this level. They're big, they're strong, they're experienced now, and they're doing exactly what you want them to do.
They are. I mean, like it's fun to watch them because, like I said, our offensive line did a great job, and then even the times that they, maybe miss a block here and there, guys like Austin Chauncey and Ray Loveless, it's just they don't go down on the first tackle. Bryce Pavoka, our fullback, he ran hard last night. They didn't want to go down. I mean, making people miss, and it's been like that all year. And it's just fun to watch them guys play.
And that type of attitude is contagious.
It is. And it worked at our JV guys got in last night and ran hard too. Mount Olive gave us a lot. I mean, they gave us some fits early on. That Coach Martin's got them going in the right direction over there. They play hard and physical all night, and never gave up. But our guys just, they kept turning. It's just fun to watch these guys run the ball.
Nacoma's 4-0 on the season. You got into the Prairie State last night, so you're now 1-0 in the conference. So, Gabe, the coach in you says the Redskins need to improve where as you get deeper into the conference part of your schedule?
Well, we definitely want to work on our tackling. Our tackling was a little suspect at times last night. It wasn't terrible, but we know we can work on that. It was probably we're usually a better gang tackling team than we were last night, but that's something, like I said, a lot of road trips and a lot of different things like that can wear on you. We'll work on things like that. But by far it wasn't a bad night at all. But we can work on things like that. We know what we got to do.
And around last night, just about everywhere, picture perfect weather for a Friday night football game.
Oh yeah, we knew that. We watched the weather all week, and it was that was about one of the best nights we've had in a long time for football.
Yeah, cool enough for the kids to get out there and hustle. We was talking off the air. How many years you been at Nokomis now, Gabe?
As the head coach since 06. This is my seventh year.
Six years.
Yeah.
And you've really built this program up over time, made the playoffs last year, obviously, in 3A, no less. And I would imagine now as we are getting, almost halfway through the football season, it's all about making the playoffs. So you're just one win away from that always popular fifth win.
Yeah, we talked about that before the game last night. We want to get, want to get six to guarantee it. We knew we were halfway there. And these kids have their goals set for this year, and one of them is, of course, make the playoffs. We'd love to have a home playoff game. We're still in the definitely, we're sitting on top of the conference early, but, we're looking for a conference shot at the title. So everything is where we want it to be right now.
Gabe, you know how fans and small towns work. A lot of the folks in Nokomis are going to look right past this week and straight ahead to Marquette the following week. How do you make sure your team doesn't do the same?
Well, I feel like Mount Olive helped us out a little bit last night because early on, they gave us some fits and showed us some stuff we hadn't seen. And, we may have took them a little lightly, but like I said, they play hard and physical. So I think this week our kids are going to know, we're not going to take anybody for granted. Go to Bunker Hill, let's get, do our job there, and then we'll worry about Marquette the next week.
If memory serves me right, you got a little bit unusual this year. You play Decatur Lutheran, is it, twice?
Yeah, we have them later on in the year again. Yes, we got to go up there.
Well, Gabe, congratulations on the 4-0 start. And, hey, you're the only undefeated team in Montgomery County.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, Gabe, congratulations on the win last night, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
Gabe Cicerelli, the head coach of the Nokomis Redskins, and they're looking good.
They're looking very good, and that Marquette game is a game we'll have on the radio in week number six. And we've got two or three broadcasts coming up late in the year with Nokomis as they wrap up the Prairie State Conference and head towards that playoff berth. Again, the magic number is six. Six guarantees you a playoff. Six wins guarantees you a playoff. Five wins, 90% of the five-win teams will get into the playoffs. There are a few that do miss out because of playoff points.
And we've seen the playoff points on the rise the last 3 or 4 years. It's getting close to where you need 40 points.
Yeah. And then the 40 playoff points comes from wins of your opponents. They take the total number of wins, and that's your playoff point total. So,
and Coach every coach's dream is to win enough to get that home field advantage in that first game.
Oh, yeah. I think that's huge.
You get the home playoff game around one and then hope for no upsets.
Yeah. That's true. And then you can stay home.
And that's the oddity of the way the IHSA football playoffs work. But if you're the number one seed, there's a good chance you're going on the road for week two because there's always upsets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that's always one thing that I wished that they would change, that they wouldn't guarantee home games for playoffs. To me, the guarantee is you made the playoffs because there is no guarantee.
Well, and if you draw it up with brackets and such, and you put people in according to the seed, higher seed should be at home, right?
I would think so.
Well, but I see the point from the IHSA. They want everybody to experience the playoff experience, and that's why teams aren't guaranteed a long stretch at home. They do have the possibility of going on the road, and from that standpoint, I think it works. They have a good method, which has seemingly worked over the years. And they're not about to change it.
No, it's not going to change it. Yeah. And it's a system that works. But when you're a team that has won all of your games, mm-hmm. and then you have to go on the road in the playoffs, it just seems...
It almost seems like something Bud Selig would do in baseball.
I was just going to say a little bit of the foul pole syndrome.
Yeah, the foul pole syndrome.
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of Bud, I thought you guys was correct this morning when you was talking about Selig. At least he has kept some sanity to the game of baseball, or hockey and these others. They can't agree on anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe the guy's not all bad.
No, I think he is.
Yeah.
He tries.
He does his best.
He has a major foul pole syndrome.
He's like us. We try.
we give it an effort. The Alani will give it an effort coming up this morning at 10:30. They will be hosting Charleston Southern at 10:30 this morning here on WSMI FM 106. And Terry, you mentioned at the top of the show, not one home team won last night in the South Central.
Everybody on the road, and everybody in the Prairie State on the road won last night. Staunton beat Litchfield 41-18, and there was a delay in the start of that game. And we talked with Ed Roundcount, the athletic director, and just a simple mix-up in some dates and the hiring of the crew. But kudos to Louis Lang, our buddy from Coffeen. He was able to put together a crew in about an hour and get to the game and get the game played last night. So it was just one of those things. Stuff happens. Greenville shut out Hillsboro last night 45-0. The Comets are back to 3-1. Gillespie squeaked by Southwestern 7-6. As we mentioned, Payne over Carlinville 29-21. And Vandalia beat up on Roxana 39-7. In the Prairie State last night, Nokomis win over Mont Olive was 55-19. And then Marquette shut out South Fork 49-0 last night. In the Sangamo, Pleasant Plains over North Mac 42-22. Auburn back to the 500 mark. They're 2-2. They beat Riverton 41-7. Pawnee beat Porta 42-7. And Athens and Williamsville had big wins last night. Both of those teams are undefeated at this point in the season. So they're all 4-0. And boy, that Sangamo conference race, whew, that's a dandy race right there.
That's a loaded conference.
That's a loaded conference. And, you know, teams from the South Central run into the Sangamo teams in the playoffs frequently.
So we'll be talking with Dave Kane coming up at the top of the hour here on Sports Saturday. And it'll be interesting to get his thoughts on the Sangamo conference because he has a pretty good feel for the teams there. Of course, Williamsville loaded again.
Absolutely loaded again. Williamsville and Athens. Athens off to a 4-0 start. And, you know, Plains is now 3-1. Pawnee and Auburn back to the 500 mark. Two teams you really can't take for granted. So, Yeah, it's a tough conference.
Another team that is never taken for granted is the Greenville Comets. A big win last night at Hillsborough. Comets now 3-1 on the year. Joining us on the phone is the head coach of the Greenville Comets, Todd Hutchinson. And, Coach, congratulations on the win last night. Nobody ever wants to lose like you did a week ago today, but I wonder if maybe that was the best thing that could have happened for your kids.
Well, you know, you always wonder about that. You certainly don't want to go through it, but Carlinville definitely handed it to us on all three sides of the football. You know, special teams, offense, defense. We got pounded last Saturday, and we know we did. And you know, everybody was in a bad mood Monday and Tuesday, and didn't like each other a little bit. And we got things straightened out Wednesday and Thursday, and I thought we came out and played a pretty good football game for four quarters last night. So, you know, you never like to think you have to get pounded to maybe get things straightened out, but things are what you make them. So we're going to say that that's the case, and we came out, and now we just got to continue to move forward from here. I think we grew up a last night in a lot of areas, and hopefully that's going to continue.
When you've had the amount of success you guys have had, sometimes a loss like that just gets your kids back to the basics, gets the attention back where it needs to be. I've heard you say so many times, playing Comet football, and boy, last night did you do that.
Well, I felt like our kids really responded. You're right, you know. I mean, you know, it's tough getting pounded like we did, you know, in a game where I just thought we just played horrible and Carlinville played great. And, you know, that's my fault. I don't think I had our kids prepared like we should have. So that's always, you know, that's always on me. And I thought our guys really came back to work on Monday and maybe questioned themselves a little bit and wondered what you know, where we were. We're a young team. I think our seniors, we got five seniors, I think they really stepped up this week by the middle of the week and took things under control, and that's what we got to have. So, you know, I thought we did get back to playing some Comet football last night. On the defensive side, we were pretty good. Offensively, we started to show some different things, and I thought our special teams really stood out last night too.
Special teams was fantastic, but I loved the wildcat wrinkle that you showed last night, and boy, you talk about giving defensive coordinators around the conference some pause. That is just another thing that they have to prepare for now when they play the Comets.
Well, it is, and it's just something that we felt like we've got to use our kids' talents the best way we can. So, you know, Coach Cantrell and Coach Pickett and Coach Jerk got in the room and really all week just talked about a lot of different things as far as where we could put kids and how we could use them. And we're going to put five kids back there now and just use their talents the best way that we can and mix things up and try to keep teams off balance a little bit.
Multiple weapons.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, when you do that wildcat, you bring Little Hutch off the field, so you've got that extra blocker, so it's not like you're just splitting your quarterback out wide. You've got a true power set with a great tailback.
Well, no doubt. You know, that gives us everybody's a weapon there, and you know, we could still throw it to Tyler or do some different things with him. But it certainly gets him off the field and gives us another threat as far as a speed runner or a true receiver or things like that. So, you know, it just gives us all the weapons that we're able to have and not just playing 10 against 11.
And, Hutch, you look at the conference, and you got five teams now sitting there with 3-1. So it tells you that this conference is pretty stiff competition, and to go through without someone jumping up and biting you is would have been almost impossible. Not impossible, but almost.
Well, it's a great conference, and I say it every year. People that think this conference is weak or whatever, they're fooling themselves. We've had a lot of great success and a lot of deep playoff runs with a lot of our conference teams, and I think we get each other playoff ready. You know, it's a well-coached conference. You know, we get along. We want to beat each other on Friday nights, but we get along other than that, and we take care of each other. We're all fighting for the same things as coaches. We're trying to feed our families and get our football teams ready. So, we take care of that part of it, but then it's a very competitive conference, you know, week in and week out, you better bring your best or you're going to get beat, no doubt about it.
Yeah, Painter made a statement last night by going into Carlinville and defeating them after the way they had handled you the week before.
Well, no doubt. You know, I think that just shows how tough this conference is. And you take the bottom five teams, I think on any given week, those teams, you know, Roxanna showed that in week two against Paina, that those bottom five right now teams that could move up as the season goes, those teams have every bit of chance of stepping up and beating you also. So you got to bring your best each week. You got to go out and prepare and just find a way to win a football game on Friday night.
Huss, did your kids have any reaction when they got in the locker room last night and found out that Paina had gone into Carlinville and got the win?
You know, I just heard them talk, and we really, don't focus a lot of our attention, especially week four, on what other teams do. But kids certainly pay attention. We did too. You know, it was kind of a surprising score, but not really, because we know that Carlinville's got a great program, Payne has got a great program, and you just never know what's going to happen. So we heard some talk, but I think kids were just interested at the score, and knowing what we did the week before, they thought it was pretty interesting.
Football's all about adjustments, as you well know, and last week against Carlinville, they ran the ball right at you with great success, and last night you really shut the run down against the Toppers from the opening kickoff.
Yeah, we did, and we went back to our old 4-4. You know, I went to a 3-5 this year. I just thought our personnel was better suited for that, and that was my mistake. I did a poor job of coaching that defense, at least week three, and so we went back and installed our 4-4. So we've got multiple fronts now we can use if we need to. But I thought our kids really did a great job of executing the scheme and controlling their gaps and winning a lot of one-on-one battles.
Hutch, can you give us an update on Taylor Burton? I know he got hurt, I think a knee injury in week one. Is that going to be season-ending?
Yeah, he tore his ACL. So, you know, he was a two-year starting guard for us and an important part of our offensive line. So, you know, Taylor, I think in the first drive there that he was in Litchfield, tore his ACL, and that's a tough loss for us. But, you know, Dalton Kuhn and Will Funderburk, a couple of juniors, you know, that's the good thing about injuries, there is no good thing, but kids are able to step up and pick up their teammates, and Burton and Funderburk and Kuhn have definitely at the guard spot stepped in for Taylor, and they're getting experience, and they're juniors and have done a great job filling in for him. But Taylor's a big loss for us, and you know, you just hate it for the kid more than anything, because they want to go out and play football, and you know, this is last year. He was an important part of our Final Four run. And you just hate that kids miss part of their football career.
And that's the worst part, Coach. And I would imagine it just tears you up inside to think that that's how his high school career is going to end.
Well, it does, because, you know, it happens. It happens to a lot of guys where they're not able to finish a great thing that they've started. And, you know, that's the biggest hurt, I think, even for coaches, is that you see kids that want to be out on the football team that can't be. And, you know, it's part of life. It's part of some of the lessons, tough lessons that football give you in life. Football is a great life lesson sport, and I think that's one of them where you just got to kind of roll with the punches and make something good out of something that's not very good.
Todd Hutchinson, the head coach of the Greenville Comets, good enough to join us here on Sports Saturday. Coach, good win last night. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, guys, I appreciate all your coverage and what you do for our kids and our high school athletics.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. Todd Hutchinson from the Greenville Comets. Boy, did they rebound in a big way last night. They were very impressive.
But nobody's shocked about that.
No.
No.
And you know, how many times do you see it, guys? A big game like we had a week ago today, Carlinville, Greenville. The team that loses draws mm-hmm. some motivation from it, and maybe the team that wins, they don't get the motivation. They get the pats on the back, and we see what happens. Now we start anew 4 weeks in, and five teams at 3-1.
And how many times do you see when a game is hyped like the Carlinville-Greenville game was, that it turns out to be like that one was? Somebody just comes in and blows the socks off the other team. It happens quite a bit.
It does tend to happen in athletics sometimes. There's so much and there's really no explanation.
There isn't. That's why they play the game.
Sure. A couple of breaks early on tends to set the tone, and humans – fall into the trap of saying, oh, well, here we go, you know, what else could go wrong, and that sort of thing, and that's what you have to battle. And like Coach Hutchinson said, that you know, he says, hey, we're going to go back to the 4-4. You got to admire a guy. He says, hey, but that I thought it would work, it didn't, and we're going back to what did. So,
and he fixed it quick.
He fixed it quick,
fixed
didn't
it he? Quick.
he made the rationalization that, hey, guys, this isn't working, so we'll back up and go another direction,
And nobody wins a conference, a playoff berth in the first 4 weeks of the season.
No, you can lose one.
You can lose one, but nobody actually, you know, nails one down. So now you're in the middle third of the season. This is where things start really cooking, in the middle three games of the 9 week season, and so that's when the fun football comes out, and that's when you get the five team race for the top spot in the South Central Conference, and you see how things play out down the stretch. I think this conference finish is going to be wild and woolly.
It was 2 years ago, 2010, that wound up being a three way tie at the top: Pena, Greenville, and Carlinville. Obviously, they all beat each other and shared the conference, and there's a very good possibility we could see a similar story unfold this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wouldn't shock me the least little bit.
Of course, Cromwell has already beat Vandalia
right.
and Greenville. So, really,
they're in the driver's seat still.
The Cromwell-Staunton game next week, which we'll have right here on FM 106, is huge. And then whenever Greenville and Pena meet up, that will go a long way
sure.
to determining the winner of the conference. So, lots of great football still to be played here in the South Central in 2012. Coming up at 10:30, we're going to have Fighting Illini football as Illinois will be hosting Charleston Southern today. We'll take you right up to the pregame coverage with the Illini Sports Network here on Sports Saturday. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to catch up with our small schools guru, Mr. Dave Kane from the State Journal, and we're going to get his thoughts on everything high school football as we have now completed 4 weeks of the season. We need a break on Sports Saturday. We're back following these messages.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond. The 2012 Farm Safety Week is September 15th through the 21st. WSMI coverage of the 2012 Farm Safety Week brought to you in part by Dirk's Radiator Service in Nokomis, Bergschneider Trucking in Harville, Rovi Farm and Sales, your GSI dealer in Farmersville, Consolidated Grain and Barge in Farmersville, Litchfield Farmers Grain, Max Fire and Safety Equipment in Litchfield, and Brown's Insurance Agency in Hillsboro.
When packing school lunches, pack the nutrition your kids need for growing and learning. Include foods from all parts of the food pyramid. For sandwiches that aren't soggy, spread whole wheat bread with Prairie Farms butter before you add the filling. For the thermos, fill it with Prairie Farms milk or chocolate milk. Or if you're out of fruit, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. For nutritious and delicious school lunches, taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms. Listen for high school football on the Tally Broadcasting Stations, brought to you by Dom Crop Insurance in Greenville, Mount Olive Monument Company, Almond Auctions in Nokomis, Wide Variety Store in Coffeen, R&B Family Restaurant in Staunton, Hopper's Pest Control in Bonneld, and by the Moonlight Y in Taylor Springs. For over-the-air broadcast and internet broadcast information, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:43, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. We'll have highs in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy skies continuing on through tonight. We'll have a low of around 58 degrees. For Sunday, partly cloudy skies, expect highs once again in the upper 70s. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, chance for rain Monday and Monday evening. We'll have highs in the mid-60s. The lows will be in the low 50s. At 9:43, we have a temperature reading of 68 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:45, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinot, thank you so much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And fellas, there was an interesting development last night at Litchfield as the Panthers were hosting the Bulldogs. It was a game that was set to begin at 7 o'clock on WAOX 105.3 The Ox, but it turns out, this was news to me, you can't play a football game without the officials.
How about that?
Who knew?
It's amazing.
Shocking.
Well, now you know.
You got to have zebras.
That's right.
Yeah. If you don't have zebras, you can't play the game.
Yeah.
Well, what happened last night apparently is that there was some sort of mix-up, and we've talked to Ed Roundcount, the athletic director at Litchfield. He's got a legally signed IHSA contract and everything. But, you know, people just get confused sometimes, and things happen. And apparently the crew ended up at a different venue. And thanks to Louis Lang and some creative phone calls, Louis put together a crew and got a team of officials to Litchfield, and in a short span of about an hour, they were ready to get football played. So
it's a good thing for Louis Lang, because, I mean, you're talking about trying to get a crew on a Friday night, last minute like that. They are lucky Louis Lang was available.
Well, you know, Louis wasn't even supposed to be doing anything, because he pulled a hammy. He's not in real good shape right now. You know, I could beat him in a race. Right now.
Interesting. Yeah. Let's get it set up.
Yeah. He's that slow, huh?
He's that slow. Of course, he's injured. I'm not.
Yeah.
Which tells you a lot about my speed. But anyway, you know, so, but Louis stepped up to the plate, got a crew together, and went over there and took care of the football game last night. So kudos to him and to Ed Roundcount. I mean, that this kind of puts everybody in just a bad position. Yeah. But the fans, you know, were there. They enjoyed the beautiful evening. Everybody seemed to hang in there and had a great crowd and turn out, and Staunton won the game last night 41-18. So, and you know, not only does the home team, you know, suffer from it, but the visiting team is there, and you're at the mercy of what's happening. And I'm sure, you know, Mike Parmentier, you know, was gracious, and Bulldogs just said, well, we're going to wait it out. We'll have officials here, and we'll play football. So,
well, the repercussions of having to go through should you not be able to come up with officials in that case, all the rigmarole of going through having to reschedule that game. When do you reschedule it?
Because, well, they would have
boom,
had to...
you go right out of the season into the playoffs. And
well, Ed,
you know,
said that they probably would have had to do it today or tonight.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, never easy to do, especially after everybody gets keyed up for the ball game and then all of a sudden it doesn't happen. So, you know, stuff happens like that, and fortunately it all worked out. They got the game in.
One thing Staunton's good at is it's waiting out things. If it's a monsoon or official delay or whatever, Bulldogs can wait it out. We're okay.
We can thank handle. You. Thank you, Mr. Bulldog.
I know.
We can handle. I appreciate that.
Well, whatever.
But. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, obviously I wasn't there last night because I was at Hillsborough, but I would imagine both teams were on the field, pregame warm-ups, getting ready to roll, because nobody notices. They're like officials, like offensive linemen. Nobody notices them until your quarterback's getting run over, you know. You get close to kickoff, like, wait a minute, where are the men in stripes? Where are they at?
Who's going to do the coin toss?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
I got the coin here. Who's going to toss it, you know? And officials, you know, don't go out there and stand around for 30 minutes before the game.
No.
So, you know.
And who would have thought in the year of the replacement ref in the NFL that we'd get a replacement crew in week four of the high school season? Who would have thought?
Oh, my. Well, crazy things happen.
That's right. There was no replacement officials last night at Hillsborough as the Greenville Comets went in to Toppertown and, well, just wrecked homecoming. And joining us right now on the phone is Aaron Duff. And, Coach, that is a tough opponent for homecoming.
Yeah, they're a good football team. They got a lot of athletes. Tough game, tough team to play.
And, of course, you guys got dealt the blow at halftime, as the word in the press box was Matt Tomazzoli failed the concussion test at the half. Just kind of walk us through, if you could, when you guys got into the locker room and how that situation progressed.
Well, our trainer, you know, Melissa Van Giesen does a great job for us, and you know, there's a protocol you got to go through with all the new laws, and I think he's going to be fine. I don't know if he really has a concussion, but you know, he just was a little groggy on a couple things, and just to be safe, you know, we don't want to mess around with the kid's head.
Well, and there's so many kids on a football team. How does that work? Is Melissa going around and looking at all the kids, or do they come to her if they have a concern? How does that work?
A little bit of both. You know, I mean, she's always going up and down the sideline checking on kids, and you know, if we see a kid looking a little bit different, we'll get a hold of her, and she'll come and take care of them for us.
And of course, Duffy, you've got to, you know how these kids react and how they act, and if you see something just a little bit out of kilter, you're going to throw up the red flag here and say, hey, we need to check this out.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, you know, we spend enough time with these kids and practice and everything. We know their personalities and how they act, and he was acting just a little bit different, but he did come back in. He was cleared in the beginning and came back in for a little bit in the first half, and then we just you know, thought it would be the safe thing to do. You know, we were down 28-0. You know, I'm not saying we were going to give up or anything. We were going to keep playing hard. But the kid's safety is first over a high school football game.
Absolutely. And, Duffy, unfortunately, last night was one of those games where after the opening kickoff, you almost were like, can we just start over? Because you had a face mask on the opening kickoff, and next thing you know, Greenville's starting on your own 30. That is tough.
Yeah, you know, they have some offensive weapons, and giving them field position is not what you want to do. Against a team like them, you got to try to keep the ball. Your offense got to keep the ball with long drives and try to keep them off the field and not give them field position.
And early in that game, you had two nice drives that got deep down into Greenville territory, but unfortunately they stalled out. And I guess that's always been kind of the thing about Greenville is they'll bend, but you get inside their 20 and they don't break.
Yeah, we put together a couple nice drives there. Got stopped on fourth down twice. You know, that's part of it. They did a nice job on both those fourth down stops.
And you had to know coming into the game that, you know, Hutch's kids got it took to them pretty good last week by Carlinville, and you know they were going to come into that game. Hutch probably fed them a little raw hamburger this week, and they were ready to work on somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got beat pretty good last week. I'm sure they were looking to bounce back. They've got some kids. They've got some talent. You know, we're dealing with a lot of young kids. I mean, in the second half, our whole backfield was sophomores, quarterback through. So, you know, that was a good thing, though, for those kids to get experience for later on.
Well, one of those young kids last night, Gavin Twitty, I was very impressed. He's a hard, physical runner.
Yes, he is. We put him at tailback this week because Luke was Cerruti. I had that little shoulder banged up last week, and we put him at fullback and didn't give him as many carries. You know, and Gavin does a good job as a sophomore. He runs very hard.
And you mentioned lots of sophomores. I noticed last night four of your five starting defensive backfield were sophomores. So you've got a very nice group of sophomores here.
Yeah. Going against a team like Greenville that throws the ball as efficiently as they do, and you put four young kids out there, it's going to be good experience for them, but it may not look good for us at this point. But I think, you know, for the future, it's a good learning experience for them.
Well, Duffy, now you need to turn your attention to prepare for the Gillespie Miners, and the Miners evened up their record last night with a victory, squeaking out a victory over Southwestern. And how do you prepare for a Don Borgini team?
I don't know. I have not seen them on film yet. I'm going to hopefully get film exchange here pretty soon. I sent it over the internet last night. So as soon as I get to watching film and see what they're actually doing, then we'll get a game plan going.
Duff, the thing about your team that I'm always impressed with is I never know if you're up 40 or down 40 because the coaches, the players, the demeanor on the sideline never seems to change.
At times we got down last night, which, you know, is just human nature, but we as coaches got to try to keep them in the game and as positive as we can. And a lot of our kids did a good job with that, especially a lot of those young kids. Hey, I mean, a lot of those young kids aren't smart enough right now. They don't know what's going on around them. So there's a lot of fast things moving around those young kids at times.
And, I mean, for sophomores, definitely the speed of the varsity game, especially the speed of a varsity game when you're playing an offense like Greenville, sometimes it's moving at such a fast pace, it's hard to keep your head from spinning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I say they're not smart enough, it's not that they're not intelligent.
Right.
I'm talking experience-wise smart, you know, so they things go fast. We had threw Austin McCaslin in this week because Jaron Young was out last night, and I thought he did a pretty good job for his first time. But like I said, we got a lot of kids in the game last night, and I think that goes a long way because, you know, I told the kids they deserve to get a chance too. They work just as hard in practice as everybody else.
Duffy, do you ever, a little bit on the lighter side, do you ever get Mrs. Van Giesen aside and suggest to her maybe she ought to look at Van Giesen to see if he's all right?
I think that's a lost cause.
There's not enough medical training in the world, huh?
I don't think there's a doctor out in the world that can do that.
Yeah, she'd probably say, what do you want me to look for?
Exactly.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, thank you for some time this morning. Good luck against the Miners next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Aaron Duff from Hillsboro. Always fun to talk to Duff.
It is. And, you know, we've had Melissa Van Giesen on the sports program almost every summer here in recent years, and talking about, properly hydrating yourself during the summer workouts and that sort of thing. And you know, how valuable are these people who are at these ball games to keep an eye on these kids?
They're invaluable.
And, you know, they don't get any.
And that's the tricky part about the concussions, guys, is it's not like a sprained knee.
Right.
Or a bruised elbow where you can see a physical problem. You know, you can hide a concussion. You know, if you don't tell somebody, I mean, you've got to actively be looking for it. And even if you're actively looking for it, it's a hard thing to see. So kudos to the medical staff at Hillsboro for catching that. Because especially at the high school level, you don't want to mess around with concussions. No, you just don't.
One thing about doing the broadcast at the Hillsboro games, Tim, is it's always exciting when you're up there in the press box to watch Van Giesen and Lippo and those guys attack the pizza.
The show.
Yeah, yeah.
Tobinat's stepping in nicely up there as well. I think Tobin ate the box last night.
Did you ever see Jaws?
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but between Tobin and Carl last night, I don't know who ate more pizza.
No, that's not. I only had two pieces.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah, but those two pieces was a half a pizza.
That's right. Wow.
That's right. I cut the large pizza into two slices.
Yeah. Wow. One for Carl, one for Toby. Wow.
Before we run out of time here on the sports show for this first hour, and we've got Dave Kane coming up here after 10 o'clock, I want to remind friends that the Macoupin County Patriots chapter of the NRA are going to have their fifth annual banquet coming up at Concordia Hall in Staunton a week from today. And I've got a couple of tickets there. That's $50 worth of tickets. Get you into the place. And all you have to do is email me at terry@wsmiradio.com, and we'll choose a winner on Monday. That's Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, at wsmiradio.com. If you need more information, you call David over to Rizzi about it. The doors will open at 5:30. Dinner served at 7. Concordia Hall in Staunton, Macoupin County Patriots Chapter of the NRA. So terry@wsmiradio.com. $50 worth of tickets there.
There you go.
Good eating.
That's always a good show.
So there you go. So, all righty. Wanted to get that in before we forgot about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you take a look at the South Central Conference, I think it was Coach Hutchison said, you know, you take the bottom five in the South Central, you never assume that you're going to garner a win against these guys.
No.
And that probably has the best thing going for the conference as far as preparation into the postseason. When you get teams into the postseason, because you don't ever take anybody lightly once you get into the postseason, but you have to learn that. That's a learned response, and you have to do that during the regular season.
And with every game a conference game, you don't have the opportunity to get those non-conference games, obviously, throughout the year. So you really rely on the depth of the conference. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And those lower-level teams, it's a great night for them to jump up and bite Carlinville, Greenville, some of the teams at the top, put a little hurt on them. So, that may be the highlight of their season.
By the way, there are a few games set for today. Bunker Hill will be at Pittsfield this afternoon, Metro East Lutheran at Trinity Lutheran, and North Green at Carrollton this afternoon.
Oh. As a Bunker Hill alum, that's not good.
Going to Saukee Land?
That's not good. That's a problem.
Go see the Pittsfield.
Oh, my goodness. Pittsfield is over there. I remember going over there for a basketball regional a few years ago, and I thought I had traveled some places covering basketball and football, but all of a sudden I saw a sign from Hannibal, Missouri.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm closer to Hannibal than I am to home. Where am I?
When you happened to look, you didn't see Tom Sawyer or Huck Finn, did you?
I did not.
But you was pretty close.
They were close. They were right there. They were probably just hitchhiking down the road from me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember a trip to Bridgeport for a sectional basketball, girls sectional basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long way over there.
I remember going to Carmi White County a few years ago for a Carlinville football game, and we're over there. That's God's country over there. We're in the middle of nowhere here, but all of a sudden, Toby Dean and I are driving down the road, just chickens walking right across the highway. Like, holy crap! Now this is the country. We've got Fighting Illini football coming up at 10:30 this morning here on WSMI FM 106. We're going to roll into overtime following NBC News Radio at the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Dave Kane from the State Journal Register, our small schools guru, everything high school football with Dave Kane. When we come back, following this NBC News radio update on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois.
And at 10:05, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much. Fighting Illini football coming up at 10:30 this morning as the Illini will play host to Charleston Southern. That comes up at the bottom of the hour here on WSMI FM 106. An opportunity now to catch up with Dave Kane from the State Journal Register, our small schools guru. And Dave, we're 4 weeks into the high school football season. Has anything surprised you so far?
Just everything.
Oh, well, other than that, yeah.
No, I don't know. Obviously, I know you guys have been talking about the South Central and what happened last night, especially at Carlinville. Boy, you wake up and look at the paper this morning, and, you know, 5 teams to 3-1. It looks like, the race for the National League wild card. It's there's just so much that can happen now over these last 5 weeks in the South Central. It's hard to predict, how those final standings are going to end up. Up here closer to Springfield, the Sangamo Conference, Williamsville is 4-0. I don't think anybody's very surprised, although I guess if there's a surprise at all, Williamsville has yet to give up a point. Going into the season, I think they thought their defense was going to be their strong suit, and it obviously has been. Athens is also 4-0. And, Pleasant Plains, I guess if there's a real surprise in the Sangamo Conference, Pleasant Plains is 3-1. They have a new coach, and they made a statement the first week when they knocked off Auburn. So those are a couple of surprises in a couple of the conferences, and obviously I know you were talking to Gabe Cesaretti earlier, and I don't think it's really a surprise that Nokomis is 4-0. I think they had a lot of reasons to be optimistic, but they've just been very impressive, in their first four wins. That's for sure.
Dave, one thing that's kind of surprised me here in the early going is North Mac and their transition to the Sangamo.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that also. I think they won in week one. They beat Pawnee, and then they ran into Williamsville in week two. And I was at that game, and it was that rainy night when the remnants of the hurricane had moved up to Illinois. And North Mac fell behind early. They gave a couple of quick touchdowns, and it kind of got them out of their game a little bit. Where they had to maybe throw more than they were really comfortable doing, and it just kind of steamrolled on them. And then they lost a shutout the following week also to Auburn. And last night I think they got on the board. I can't remember what the final score was now with Pleasant Plains.
42-22 was final last night.
Right. And truthfully, I haven't seen North Mac since that Williamsville game. I get the impression that, offensively, maybe they're still kind of having a little trouble getting on track a little bit. And, I know J.D. Lorton, the coach, he said it was going to be a big challenge, jumping to the Sangamo, where, just about every week, you're going up against a tough opponent, and maybe slightly bigger schools or comparable schools. So hopefully they can still maybe turn. Last year North Mac got off to a slow start, and then they kind of turned things around and made the playoffs. I don't know if it's going to be quite as easy this year, but I wouldn't count them out quite yet.
The Sangamo, always one of those tough football conferences. Well, really not just a football conference, just as a conference as a whole. The Sangamo, very solid. How does it compare to maybe the last few years in the Sangamo?
Well, again, when you think about the Sangamo, as a, quote, football conference, has only been actually going for 4 or 5 years now. I think it was a combination of some of the old Prairie State schools and some schools that really haven't had football for very long, like Athens and Pleasant Plains. A couple of the schools that you would expect have been kind of the trendsetters. Williamsville and Auburn have been maybe the most consistent. And Athens has been pretty good these last couple years. It seems like come playoff time, at least a couple of Sangamo schools make a pretty good run, and then they might run into a like a Moroa Forsythe or a Casey Westfield, and they can't, you know, so far these first few years of the Sangamo, they haven't quite been able to get over the hump. But I still think it's you know, already considered a pretty solid, you know, for the most part, 2A, 3A, you know, type of a conference. You know, Pawnee is the smallest now, and they're 1A, but it's mostly a 2A, 3A setup.
You look at a school like Williamsville, Dave, and, of course, they're out of our area. We don't get to see them. But is this a school, golly, they haven't allowed a touchdown. Is this a school that could really, really have a serious threat at, you know, the playoffs going all the way or pretty deep?
Well, you know, after the way, you know, last year, the last 2 years, Ralph, I think they've made it to the third round and then again run into either maybe a Moroa or a Casey Westfield, one of those traditional powers. And again, you know, going into the season, I think, you know, Aaron Coons, the coach of Winslow, he felt like, at least at the outset, that the defense, in terms of experience, the defense would be their strong suit. And but, you know, offensively, they're obviously getting the job done now too, even though they have a new quarterback and a few new faces. I think, again, you know, as they say, defense wins championships. You know, again, maybe once they get several weeks into the playoffs or something, if they get that far, they may run into some offensive juggernaut. But the last few years they've kind of established a program, you know. And I think they do have a pretty good chance of making a pretty good run deep in playoffs. You know, they're listed in Class 3A currently, you know, in the state polls. But as you guys know, sometimes once those playoff pairings actually come out, you may not end up being in that same class. So there's a chance Williamsville could be 2A like they were last year. And that, depending on the luck of the draw, that could be a good thing or maybe it could be a difficult thing for them. But they've been very impressive so far.
And Dave,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, you said one of the magic phrases there, the luck of the draw, and the draw has so much to do with it. A lot of times with playoff success, especially in high school football, because a lot of times there are teams that are brought in from the east, brought up from the south, pulled down from the north, in these opening round games sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. That Saturday night in October where they put together the pairings and the classes and everything, and you know, invariably you'll call, talk to a couple of coaches who said we had no idea we were going to go this direction or have to play the same team twice in the span of 3 weeks or whatever. It's always it's never totally cut and dried. So it'll probably be more of the same, you know, in about a month, of a little over a month from now, probably.
Dave Kane with the State Journal Register joining us here on Sports Saturday. And Dave, I don't expect you to know this off the top of your head, but I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've ever heard of a team not allowing a point through 4 weeks.
Well, I mean, it's been a while, although, oh gosh, and I, you know, I'm drawing a blank. I know that.
Well, I put you on the spot.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, I'm sure you look up in the IHSA record books, you know. One team that comes to mind, and again, this has been quite a few years ago, one of the Pittsfield teams, I think it was about 1970, and it was during that stretch, I think Deke Pollard was their coach, and they had a very lengthy winning streak over several years. That Pittsfield team went unbeaten and unscored upon in 1970. You know, I think every so often you'll see a team that gets on that kind of streak, maybe for a few weeks, but eventually, you know, maybe they give up a touchdown or two. You know, Williamsville, well, again, it hasn't happened in a while, at least up here in this area. One thing I was going to mention earlier about the Sangamo, you know, Auburn got off to an 0-2 start, but after they made a few defensive adjustments and whatnot, I think they're playing probably as well as anybody in the Sangamo now. Unfortunately, they do have two losses, so they're probably out of the title hunt, you know, in the Sangamo, but they do play Williamsville the final week. And it could be interesting if, and I don't know if it'll happen, but the scenario, if Williamsville, if by some chance they're still unscored upon, and they go up against Auburn, who has a wonderful running back receiver in Austin Minch, and they've developed a few other weapons, that could be an interesting story if it comes to that. But that's a few weeks down the road.
You mentioned Austin Minch. Is he the best offensive player in the conference?
I would have to say so. Boy, I mean, and there's some other really good, you know, every conference has a number of good, you know, offensive players, but he could, I don't know how often you guys have seen him play, but he, you know, Dave Basioff, the coach, said last night, the thing about Austin Mitch, when he's got the ball, whether he's caught a pass or taken a pitch out or taken a handoff, he's just so shifty, it's hard to get a good shot at him. It just seems like it's just hard to wrap him up. He gets so many, and he's strong, too. It's not just quick or shifty. He's also a very strong kid. He's a very athletic kid. You know, they use him, again, sometimes he'll line up in a wide receiver. Sometimes he'll be a running back. Sometimes he's like in a wildcat thing where he gets a direct snap. You know, Dave Bates loves to, he's kind of an offensive wizard anyway, so, you know, this is kind of a special toy that he's had to play with the last few years. You know, he's trying to make the most of this of Austin's senior year.
And so to make a baseball analogy with Austin Mitch, Dave, he's kind of like the power hitter. He's in scoring position as soon as he steps into the box. You get the ball in his hands, and he can take it all the way.
Yeah. Last night at Riverton, you know, it was a fairly close game into the third quarter, but then Auburn started to pull away, but Mitch took a direct snap. They were maybe the Riverton 25-yard line. He took a direct snap, and he just went around left end. I mean, he got some good blocks. I mean, and their offensive line is very good. But I mean, he was just untouched. I mean, he sees a hole and he just goes. And it's his first couple steps. You know, you better be ready to make an adjustment right away if he's coming at you. That's for sure.
I'm always amazed at those kids playing football, Dave, that you just said a couple steps and he's gone. I'm always amazed at how quick some of those kids are out of the backfield, and just like you say, a step or two and they're at full speed and they're gone.
Yeah, you know, I guess a kid that's been a number of years ago now, you know, Tunde Ridley was, of course, he was just one of those once-in-a-lifetime athletes that comes through. But he, you know, he was like that. He was so quick, you know, just boom, boom, and see you later.
Ran into a problem where he was there before the hole opened up at times.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Terry. That's true. He was so quick after he got a handoff. So yeah, it's hard to believe we're almost through week four here in the season. We're approaching the midway point. So.
Dave Kane joining us here. You can read him in the State Journal Register. And, Dave, a couple weeks ago you had a very nice feature on Joe Beach today, of course, the quarterback for the Carlinville Cavaliers. And that is such a neat story with his dad, obviously, the head coach. Now Joe, only a sophomore as a starting quarterback.
Yeah. And I had kind of forgotten, you know, until I started talking to Chad yesterday, I'd forgotten that Chad was a quarterback for his dad a few years ago over at Nicholas. Although Chad was quick to point out that, he said, I was about a 5'11 option quarterback. He said, I was not blessed with my son's, you know, height and frame and whatever. But he said, you know, Chad had that perspective of, you know, his relationship with his dad and, you know, how they worked together as a coach and a quarterback. And now he's able to, you know, draw from that, you know, working with Job and everything. And yeah, it's, you know, it's similar to, you know, up at Auburn a number of years ago, you know, Michael Bates, yeah. Dave's son. I think Michael became kind of a full-time starter, maybe midway through his freshman year. It was kind of a similar situation. And Dave Bates talked about how, boy, you're the father and you're the coach. You think this is probably the right thing to do for the team, but what are people going to think? But sometimes you get that assurance and that support from your coaching staff, and you know you realize, hey, this is the right thing to do. And I'm sure you know Chad kind of went through the same thing at Carlinville, but I think it's pretty obvious it was the right choice the way things have gone at Carlinville.
And Job gives that Carlinville offense a dimension they really haven't had for a while, and that is the deep pass.
Right. Yeah. He can definitely throw the ball. You know. Last year and this year, obviously, they have such a wonderful crew of running backs back there that, you know, even Job says, hey, I, you know, well, I would, you know, he said, I would love to throw the ball more, but he said, we have such great ball carriers, you know, that's going to be our best, usually our best bet as far as being successful. But, you know, you would think the next couple of years, I don't know if Carlinville's necessarily going to totally air it out, but, you know, you have to think in these next couple of years, you know, his arm, his passing ability will be utilized even more.
And I think a lot of that will depend upon the kids coming up and whether or not they're going to have the talented receivers to throw to.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm not real familiar with some of the underclassmen, you know, who Coach Easter will have coming up. I think one of you guys mentioned earlier, is it Kenny Miles?
Yeah,
sophomore. He's only a sophomore who could be a pretty talented running back the next couple of years. So it's not like, you know, the well is going to be totally dry, you know, as far as in the backfield for Carlinville. So yeah, it'll be interesting how things pan out the next couple of years.
We had a unique situation last week when Carlinville went into Greenville. You had two coaches, and both of them's sons were the quarterbacks, and I think there was anticipation of quite a rivalry there, but it just never developed. Carlinville come out and took it to them from the get-go.
Right. You know, something tells me, you know, maybe Chad Easterday and Coach Hutchinson have maybe compared notes and experiences and whatever about how have you dealt with this, you know, as far as both having sons who are both sophomores, too, and very talented quarterbacks. So that'll be, you know, like you said, last week, Carlinville just got on a roll, and it didn't turn out to be a, you know, much of a shootout between the quarterbacks, but they'll meet, you know, a couple more years here before it's all over, so I'm sure they'll have some interesting matchups.
Dave, we always enjoy your perspective on high school sports. Thanks for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Well, hey, I appreciate it. Hey, one thing, guys, I was going to mention, and I actually live up here in New Berlin, the home of the Pretzels, and there's going to be something kind of special up here tomorrow, kind of a small-town America atmosphere. Lance Brooks, who is a New Berlin graduate, competed for the United States in the Olympics last month in the discus. Lance is coming back to New Berlin, and they're going to kind of tie in their homecoming week with honoring Lance, and they're going to actually have their homecoming parade tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and Lance is going to be the Grand Marshal. And then after that, they're going to have like a little ceremony to honor him at the high school. So if anybody's up in Sangamon County early tomorrow afternoon and want to maybe meet an Olympian, Lance Brooks is going to be here, so it should be kind of a neat afternoon up here.
Very cool. Dave Kane from the State Journal Register, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thanks, guys. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave.
Always great to get Dave's perspective. He just has – we talk about people having their finger on the pulse. Mm-hmm. He's got it.
And he's a small-town guy, and he can relate to – what high school athletics means to small communities and to smaller schools. And not that it's everything, but it's a lot.
It's a big part of it.
It's a big part of
it. Community pride
and
everything that goes with it. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Would you like increased crop productivity on your farm every growing season? LRS Farm Drainage does farm tile systems the right way using the best commercial drainage equipment in the industry. They're the leader in job quality and detail, enhancing crop yields even in the driest of years. Contact Ryan at 618-535-3002. Drain the land. Don't let the land drain you. LRS Farm Drainage, doing drainage right the first time.
You'll find great savings during the Premier Dealer event at your neighborhood Sears Hometown stores located at 19 Litchfield Plaza this Saturday, September 15th. You can get an extra 10% off all purchases. And if you find a lower price, Sears will match that price plus give you an extra 10% of the difference. Save big during the Premier Dealer event this Saturday, September 15th at your Sears Hometown store. Exclusions apply. See stores for details. Offers valid September 15th.
2012 Farm Safety Week is September 15th through 21st. WSMI and these businesses remind you to be safe during Farm Safety Week and all year long. Calls Pest Control in Hillsboro, Jim's IGA in Livingston, the Irving Creamery and Pizzeria, Moore's Barbershop in Staunton, Sorrell's Farm Supply in Raymond, and by the Green Tree Lounge in Raymond. Relax in the shade of the Green Tree Lounge.
It's 68 degrees outside. Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, Tobinat, thank you very much. As we have Fighting Illini football coming up at the bottom of the hour, they will host Charleston Southern coming up 10:30 here on FM 106. I'm not sure, Charleston Southern, I assume that's like South Carolina? There's a lot of Charlestons in America.
There are, and all I can tell you is that they're 0-2.
Well, that was pretty much a given.
So, you know, they're doing it for the money.
Well, absolutely. That's the way college football works.
I remember college basketball,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. When I was at Eastern and Tony Romo was there, they got a chunk of change to go to Kansas State and get whipped up on, and then another chunk of money to go to Hawaii and get whipped up on. And, of course, Savannah State went to Oklahoma State, I think, week one and lost 84-0, but collected a little over $300,000, so I guess it worked out
but
all right.
But that Romo guy, he's done okay.
He's worked out all right.
Yeah, he's worked
he's
out.
He's a bit all right. A bit all right.
You still a Romo fan?
Oh, absolutely.
Guy? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I got a Romo jersey. Hey, how often can you say you, that a guy from Eastern Illinois is a starting quarterback in the NFL and for the Dallas Cowboys, no less?
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Right.
Did you have a kind of an inkling when you were in school that could be the case?
I did. Personally, like watching him, you could just tell that I thought he would play in the NFL. Now, I never thought he would be a Pro Bowl starting quarterback in the NFL, but I thought he could play in the NFL.
I suspect you probably saw him operate at one speed and everybody else at another speed.
It did. The thing that impressed me when he was in college was the way that he ran the play action. He would run the play action, then he would put the ball just behind his back and just stand there. And if the defense didn't bite, he was going to get lambasted. But he knew that he sold it, and he would just stand back there for 2 or 3 seconds and then air it out downfield.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah, he was a lot of fun to watch when he was at Eastern.
Well, in Eastern's been one of those programs where when they've been good, they've been very, very good. And then when they've been bad, holy moly.
Yeah.
It's tough to put people in the stands.
Not much in between.
There really hasn't been at Eastern. There really hasn't been. But Bob Spoo, is he still there?
I think he is.
I think he's still there.
I think he's still there, yeah.
He
was old when I was there. So, you know, of course, Tim Beckman in his first year at the helm for the Fighting Illini.
And he always has spoken so highly of you, Tim.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he knows me. We're on a first-name basis.
Yeah,
he calls me Jim. It's weird. But Tim Beckman coming off of a shellacking last week at Arizona State, and this should be the type of opponent that can get you back on the right track. Of course, Shieldhouse didn't play last week. I think it was a shoulder injury he was dealing with from their week one win. Again, I don't remember who they played week one. Western Michigan? Is
Western
that who they
Michigan, played? Yeah. So, you know, when he goes out, they're lost.
Big time.
They really are. They just don't even look like they have a clue from what little I saw.
Yeah, they did not play well at Arizona State a week ago. So hopefully they can get well today against Charleston Southern. And the Big Ten conference season is looming.
Oh, my gosh. It's right around the corner. And, you know, it's coming right off the bat. They've got some big time people that are going to be playing.
Penn State's in first.
Yeah, you hate to think about the ramifications of that ball game. So, it could be butt ugly.
It could be ugly, and it'll be interesting to see how Penn State is received when they hit the road in the Big Ten.
Well, I think some of the furor has died down a little bit. There's going to be some, but you know, it's not these kids.
Well, but we're talking about intoxicated college kids, Terry.
Yes. And they do have
get a little rowdy from time to time.
A unique view on life from time to time.
That's right.
Is that a great
way to
put it?
That's a good way to put it.
Just wanted to let you know, Charleston Southern is in South Carolina.
Okay, there we go. Okay, it is in South Carolina.
Okay.
That was my guess, but you never know about
a
guess.
You never know. It could have been Alaska, as far as we know.
Charleston, Alaska. There probably is a Charleston, Alaska.
I would say if there's...
Doesn't every state have a Springfield?
I have no idea.
I think they do. A lot of states do.
Well, I think a lot of states do, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe not every state. That could be an overstatement. I have no idea, but a lot of states have a Springfield. So,
not many states have Lincoln, though.
No, they don't.
Illinois and Nebraska are about the only two I know.
That's right. And on a home football Saturday for the Cornhuskers, Lincoln is, the third largest city in the state.
Is it really?
When they get that steady impact, yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
We're out of time here on Sports Saturday. We want to thank all of our area coaches that gave us a few minutes of their time. Of course, Dave Kane from the Springfield State Journal Register as well. You can check our broadcast schedule on the website, WSMIRadio.com, for our upcoming high school broadcast. We've got Cardinal Baseball tomorrow at 2:15 on AM 1540. Fighting Illini football comes up next here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.